I lived in the north of Scotland. I had a small allotment up there with an old man, and he collected spuds from all over the islands. And we had black and red and various other colours. I got a great interest in them. I became fascinated by them. And then when I came to Ireland, when I bought a house, I was in Yorkshire one week, and a man had a table full of potatoes with a £5 note in it. And he said, if you can name any of the spuds, you can have the fiver. And I named most of them. And when I got to the exit, he'd packed up one of each for me to take away with me. And from there, the collection has built up from 32 varieties, which he gave me, up to 180, which we have today.
And we are here in Lissadell, quite an overcast morning here in Sligo. We're in the kitchen garden part of this incredible estate. To the left, this amazing walled garden where the 180 varieties are. We're going to go in a minute. But first of all, we're going into this shed here, because in this shed, really, the story of potatoes began.
It does indeed. There's a board in here that came from Peru, which is all the colours and shapes.
Look at this.
Of the wild varieties that are still wild in Peru today.
So here is a board. On the board are stuck these fake potatoes.
They are indeed, yes.
All different colours, purples, pinks, white, cream, brown, dusty brown, different shapes, with things that look like balls of grapes. These potatoes are how old?
These varieties would date back 15,000 years at least.
15,000. So yeah. These are the first potatoes in the world.
Yes, and they're still grown wild in Peru. There's about 3,000 varieties in the wild in Peru, and they're managed in the wild.
They all have holes in them. They're very unlike the potatoes I would know today, apart from one here, which looks like the standards of Maris Piper. But this is where the potato story began in Peru.
In Peru. When the Spanish brought them back at the beginning of the 1500s, that's when European interest in the potatoes started. And they got put into big gardens and used by the gentry, really, as a novelty in their gardens. But then they realised that they were a very good food source. And from there, we end up being the potato world that we are today.
And before we talk about the tradition in Ireland 15,000 years ago in Peru, people were eating them.
They were. There is archaeological evidence that they were cultivating potatoes 15,000 years ago.
So if we look at these varieties that are here, Chimaco, which is this long pink, beautiful pink potato, it's like a long finger. Llana Piña, which looks like a ball of grapes. Yep. Over here we have a sort of curvy potato, looks like a big worm. Yurac Kiwilo, I don't know how to pronounce that. And then up here, what looks like a bit like a yam, Llana Puma Maki.
As you can see, the variety is huge. But if you look at modern potatoes, you get Roosters, red, white, Maris Piper. The colours in the breeding potatoes today are still coming out in the potatoes we eat today.
You've got a potato there, you're cutting it in half.
Which will just give you a bit of a shock.
Look at that. So it's a brown potato, you cut it in half, and this beautiful purpley pink colour inside.
This is Highland Burgundy red. You get red chips, red mash, red everything really. And it's a very nice potato. Makes beautiful roasties and chips. The first pictures of potatoes that the Spanish made when they came back in the 1520s and 30s were purple.
Where does the word potato come from?
From Spain, patatat. The original Peruvian name is patatat, which means father, or the best thing you can have, really, because it fed them through everything.
Tell me a little bit about the 1500s in Ireland then, because obviously potatoes are completely associated with Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that time, it would have been a little bit like we spoke of unpasteurised milk as a sort of super whole food. You could live off it. Potatoes, are they the same?
The same. Potatoes are so nutritious. You can live on potatoes and a glass of milk. Probably a pound or two of potatoes a day will give you every vitamin, everything you need, all the vitamin C's, everything else. The glass of milk will give you vitamins A and D, and you'll be as healthy as it can be. And that's what the Irish did. You had such big families, small amounts of land. The lumper, which I have here.
Big fat lumper.
A huge lumper. is a potato that came from Scotland, where it was bred for pig feed. So they could get huge crops off a small piece of land, eat potatoes for every meal, have their buttermilk. Very healthy people.
Yes, and of course there's a big link between potatoes and pigs as well, which is a different story. We are going to go out now to this beautiful walled garden, because out here there are 180 varieties all around the perimeter. of potatoes.
This is the collection. The collection ended up in Lissadell in a fantastic way from my point of view.
All around the periphery are these beautiful signs. And we're going to walk around the edge now because it starts with the earliest variety of potato and ends with the most recent, which is 2004.
Yes.
David, these aren't just Irish potatoes,
no.
These are from the world.
They're from the world. We have potatoes from all over the world.
But the first potato that's here is the Irish apple, 1768, late main crop.
It was around at the time of the famine as well, but it wasn't such a big cropper as the lumper. And so it would have been about, but it would be grown more for the gentry and things like that.
The yam, 1771, Landleaguer.
Landleaguer is still about. People are still eating it. I'm still eating it. It's still a wonderful potato, 1798.
Lumper here, excellent yield, 1800s.
Lumper was the potato that most people grew in Ireland in the famine. And this is the potato that failed completely.
So this is the story of the famine.
This is the story of the famine, the lumper. This year, I'm eating it at home this year. It's absolutely delicious. Last year, you wouldn't have given it to the hens.
At the time of the famine and before the famine, how many varieties were there to choose from?
Probably a dozen or so, in reality. But most people grew the lumper because of its crop, because it was so huge, and they needed the huge crops to keep their big families going.
And who at the time was breeding, if you like, potatoes? Who was creating the new varieties?
Well, mainly estates like Lissadell. They have their own variety here, which they bred, the Alana. But Scotland was the big breeding place, and still is the big breeding place for potatoes generally.
OK, so we have flounders, black scary, beautiful pink colour, cups, 1800s.
Lovely names, I love the names.
Lovely names, 40-fold from 1836, originally from Lancashire.
Yeah.
Scary blue, all these different colours.
Scary blue is, it's a real lovely eating potato, scary blue. Black skin, just a mottled inside, but beautiful to eat.
So we're coming up to the famine time here. The pink for apple is very long.
Yeah.
Buff's an old variety from County Donegal, early rogue, champion, 30 years after its introduction in Ireland. It made up a staggering 80% of all the potatoes in the world.
Champion is the one most people ask me for.
Why?
Because it's wonderful to eat. but they're absolutely delicious. And they date from very old as well. French, raté.
Raté, the Irish cobbler, 1876. We're walking along here, moving along in history. Russet Burbank, Langworthy.
Yes, Russet Burbank, which we've just passed, that is the one that's used for chips today by McDonald's and all those people.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Right, okay. We're around 1882, early regent, British queen.
Still around today. Still the most popular of the queens.
Yeah, and then we have one here, which was on the Aran Islands, up to date, 1894.
Again, was the potato that came, was grown on places like Cyprus. When we used to buy a lot of Cyprus potatoes in the 70s and 80s, it was up to date that we were eating.
So they took that from the Aran Islands into Cyprus and then
and it went to Cyprus,
sold it back to us.
And it, sort of, and it grew very well there.
We're so clever, aren't we? And coming up to the Congo, 1900s, very dark potato.
Congo was the black one I showed you.
Yeah, in beetroot the black.
Black beetroot black. Fabulous.
Great Scott, 1909. Now, the connection between Ireland and Scotland when it comes to potatoes is very, very tight. These tattyhokers used to go over and pick.
There is a very strong connection. Ireland is still one of the world's biggest seed potato growing areas. My favourite potato?
Golden Wonder.
Golden Wonder.
And we still grow that, don't we?
We still grow that. It's still available. It's always an expensive option. But after January, probably the best potato in the world.
Why is it expensive?
Because it's not a big cropper and it's difficult to grow.
Right, so we got a 1911 Majestic, the Bishop, Edsel Blue. What a colour, look at
people,
that.
It's a luminous kind of pool, yeah. People still ask about that and still look for seed for Edsel Blue. And it is available from specialist people. This is a very small collection, let me tell you. This is the biggest private one, I think, in Ireland, as far as I can make out. But I know a man in Scotland who's got 670.
Are you jealous?
Yes, absolutely.
You have to go over and steal some of his potatoes. Now tell me, in terms of all the difference, I mean, we've come just one line of potatoes here, so we're up to, what are we up to, 1923. What makes a variety a variety? Because there's all these different varieties, but how different are they genetically from each other?
Quite different. I mean, they breed for different jobs. Nowadays in particular, you'll get some of the lady varieties, you'll see Lady Balfour and that, and they're bred for the chipping industry because they're able to withstand commercialisation. But generally people breed potatoes for taste. I think the average breeder, he plants 100,000 seedlings a year. and he'll do it every year, and he would get one viable variety for the market about every 15 years.
But if I'm trying to create a new variety, say, I don't know, like Ella Bella variety of potatoes or whatever, how do I do it? How do I even start to do it?
You do like I do. I've got my own varieties at home. You cross the flowers.
Physically?
Physically, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, physically. Keep the little seed pod that comes at the top. And then what you get inside, you might get 20 seeds to about 200 seeds inside. You dry them out, plant them the following year. I started off with about 1,000 seedlings. After 6 years, I'm down to 13 varieties now.
So you are creating your own new potato varieties?
I've got 13 of my own varieties now, yes.
Yeah. And so all the time you've looked for traits and different traits, yes. Like size and taste and flavour?
I've never sprayed them, never anything else with them. So I've always looked at them, the ones that have survived the winter, the ones that have survived storage, the ones that have survived the blight, and I've gradually... And the ones that give you a good crop and look well.
So these are a little bit like your children. You're sort of looking at their behaviour as well as what they look like.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're more trouble than children.
Okay, Sebago, where are we? 1938 from America. Ulster Chieftain.
These were all bred in the north. Ulster, of course.
Ulster Prince. Ulster Emblem. Ulster Magnet.
Ulster Scepter. Home Guard is still one of the most popular first earlies today. People grow a lot of Home Guard today.
And then we're kind of walking up here in 1944, so Second World War time, Dr. McIntosh.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
That's French. That's still popular and still one of the biggest sellers, Roosevelt.
So we're into Mad Men time, yes, 1950s. Yes. Pentland Dell, Pentland Ivory.
This is a whole...
Pentland Squire. Yeah. Maris Piper, there's the Maris Piper that
you'll
we know.
Recognise there. Maris Bard, they're still available today. Maris Piper, of course, is the chip shop favourite potato. Even in Ireland, they import them in from Lincolnshire for the chip shops.
Right.
And they still make some of the best chips.
Yeah. 1976, Orla. This Chagask variety is the most blight resistant.
It is. This is the most popular one grown on Lissadell Estate. Grow a couple of acres of these each year, and people are asking for them all the time. They're a great cropper and a very, very nice eater.
So we're into the millennium year now. Rocket.
Cultra is a very popular main crop here. You'll see that in nearly every shop at the moment.
Avalanche. Colleen, roosters.
Roosters. We have to have roosters. one of the things, if we don't have roosters on show, people really say, you haven't got the rooster out.
And then we're coming into the year 2000 here with Druid, a red potato.
Quite modern, very good. And these now, some of these are early and late. This is the red one I showed you, Highland Burgundy Red.
Very good. And who, you know, we're coming into, you know, what is it? 10, 15 years ago, who was breeding all these?
These are still, you'll notice some of these don't have dates. And the reason is that we either don't know the date properly, like this one, Navan. Now, this is one I spoke about a minute ago.
Navan, 1987.
It's a lovely potato. It's one of my favourite eating potatoes, a big cropper, and it stands the blight well. Hungarian, India, these are ones that people give to us that have been grown on their farms. And they say, oh, we've grown this for 100 years. My grandfather brought this back from somewhere, and we don't know what it is, but we always call it India or what have you.
And then here, the fantastic Lady Balfour, who founded the Soil Association in England, 2001, an early main crop.
Lady Balfour's a really good chipper, and you see it quite a lot for sale.
Mr. Little's Yathome Gypsy, what's that?
This is a potato that was discovered in Scotland. And it's actually the only potato with three colours in the skin. It's got white, red and black in the skin.
Open-walled blue, Portland black, peach blossom, purple home guard, Pembroke. What year are we at now?
Lovely name.
Peru red, Pimpernel. What a gorgeous name, Pimpernel. Ruby Queen.
Quite a lot of people ask us about Ruby Queen. It's a lovely eating potato. It's not a big cropper, but they were grown huge commercially around about the 1920s and things.
Rosabella. Beautiful name. Satanta.
They are lovely names, aren't they?
Sarpa Mira, which is the Hungarian one that's blight resistant.
Vivaldi. This is the one that's supposed to be for slimmers.
Vivaldi.
This is the one that's supposed to be something like 50% less carbohydrates in it than ordinary potatoes.
And is it true that the consumption of potatoes, the sales of potatoes in Ireland have gone down quite a lot?
Plummeted, really. And the growing of potatoes. The land is, a lot less land is used in potatoes now.
Why? I mean, is it because you're saying with Vivaldi being the slimmers that, you know, people are told not to eat potatoes, too much carbohydrate?
There's still some of that going on where people have got the wrong impression about potatoes. potatoes. Potatoes are only fat if you put butter on them. So it's a problem for everywhere. Whereas the Western world, and certainly Ireland in particular, we're eating less and less potatoes as such. We're eating more and more processed potatoes, ready mashed in bags that you throw in the micro. And
can that problem be solved by the kind of varieties we have here that have different kind of flavours, different nutritional value, different colours? I mean, is it a bit of diversity we need in potato eating? Because potatoes can be quite boring. Oh, you look at me like you want to kill me. The standard potato that you see on the plate, I mean, what I've seen here is extraordinary, the different colours.
Look up some of the potato recipe things. There's hundreds of thousands of varieties of recipes. Everything from chocolate cakes made from potato and sweets made from potato. I've even got ice cream recipes made from potato. Nice. And things like that. But the problem is that people don't want the work now. They don't want to be peeling spuds. They want to come home from work. They want to throw something in the micro, cut the corner off, squeeze the mash out in the corner of the plate or whatever.
Maybe you need to develop a ready peeled variety that grows automatically.
Well, there probably is one somewhere, if the truth is known.
And is it true, David, that it's only the Irish and the Scots that like floury potatoes, well, and the rest of the world like waxy potatoes?
Well, generally, yeah. From what I can do in the research I do, yes, is the answer. Most countries like a more waxy potato. I don't know why that should be. But the Scots in particular like floury, and of course the Irish just love floury potatoes.
And why is that?
I've absolutely no idea. Just taste it. I don't know whether it's because we're more used to it. Certainly the lumper is a floury potato. And whether it got written into history that, you know, grandfathers and grandmothers always said, oh, these great floury potatoes. You know, a bit brainwashed the troops, the rest of their family in some ways.
So we're just a brainwashed race, really, aren't we? Finally, 2004, the last one.
Yes, the last one. We're moving on. This is actual fact, this last one. This is red Anya, in fact, and that's the very last one. That's a Lithuanian potato.
So that's the most recent, and you are working on these varieties in your garden in Mayo.
Yes, well, I do, yes.
How long is that process going to be before it's legally a new breed of potato that you've got?
Probably another 5-6 years at least.
It's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary. It takes an extraordinary amount of time to get a new variety to the market, or before you're allowed to register.
David, if people are listening and they want to experiment then and grow some of these incredible varieties that you have collected here, how do they get their dirty hands on them?
Well, there are specialist seed merchants. One in particular that I use is Tucker's in England, and they have 150 varieties that are available, and a very good catalogue. There's Thompson & Morgan have some, and various others. But you need to look on the web.
So they can't come up to here to Lisadell and buy them off you?
Well, no, we don't sell seed potatoes here. We actually, because we grow them in big pots, we grow two tubers a year in big pots, we actually don't end up with a huge amount. You know, we probably end up with no more than 10, 12 tubers of each variety. So we don't have potatoes to sell, not of these varieties. But they are available, some of them. Not all of them, but some of them are available out there from specialist merchants.